The Unpodcast is brought to you by Emma, email marketing that works for you.
In a world where QR codes kill kittens and customer service is an oxymoron, one podcast has set out to make things right. This is the Unpodcast with your hosts, Scott Stratton and Allison Kramer.
Happy Halloween! Soon to be sometime around now.
Scott loves Halloween.
I'm a big fan. Me and Tessa.
I saw a big giant box of full-size chocolate bars at Costco, and I was going to buy them, and then I said, they'll be eaten before Halloween if I buy them.
Last year, finally, one of my goals in life, other than owning a home...
It was second on that list
was being the house that handed out full-size chocolate bars.
And I went to a plaza. It's not really a plaza. It's really big. One of those really center plazas. And there was a Halloween store already open. So yeah, you cannot trust Scott and Tessa at a Halloween store. That is all the monies.
So we have a 15-foot inflatable witch out
we
front.
We do.
That goes up anytime soon. It is October, or as I know as Shocktober. Hi-yo! And I just love it. And of course, last year we took a bunch of them out trick-or-treating, and we had to go get another bag.
Class.
Right, Tessa's whole class out trick-or-treating. Yeah. I had to go get another bag because they were getting full, and then I lost the group.
Yes.
It was a fork in the road, and it was like it was going to turn into the movie Halloween.
It was one of those times where I started to get mad because I thought, like, why haven't you come back? Because there were like 25 kids.
Yeah, I went the wrong way.
And three parents, and you got to like herd that. Like you're like sheepdogs trying to keep all the kids together.
Yeah, it was pitch blackout. I couldn't see anybody.
Yeah,
very unsafe.
And kids in costumes all kind of look like everybody's just kids.
So then I go up to another group, and they're not our children at all. All right, so I'm just like, are you going to eat that? Like, it's just like, that was a whole...
What are you going to dress up for Halloween this year?
I don't know.
Your Star Wars robe?
Yeah.
That's your favorite.
I have a Jedi robe. It's a cop-out costume. You just throw the robe on. You're like, look, I'm Obi-Wan. And it's just like, you're done, right? And Qui-Gon Jinn. That's more of my hair. Beard is more Qui-Gon than anything else. But I do have goals of dressing up. I do want to do the Michael Jackson Thriller werewolf one of these days. It's a lot of effort, but... if I just say I want to do it, then I get points for it. Yeah, so welcome on the show. We've got a story about Nicole's. And when I say a story about Nicole's, you'll see what I mean by this. Air Canada and how they're acting like a princess in a good way. Unbelievable numbers with Fortnite and a sidebar on Fortnite. And...
Made up word story.
And then a great question from one of our listeners from LinkedIn. And all that and plenty, nothing more. Brought to you by Emma. It's an email marketing that works for you. Their award-winning team is always ready to support you on your email marketing, strategy, design, list migration, and more. And you know what? They're just swell people.
And it's almost our second one-month anniversary with them. So that's exciting.
I can't wait.
They've stuck by us for a whole month.
I can't wait what they're going to get me. It's going to be amazing. So on with the show. This is coming to us from CBC. I ran across the story and wow. So Nicole's, with quotes around it, strike up friendship after man emails more than 240 women with the same name at Calgary University. Some of Nicole's meet up at Calgary, University of Calgary on Sunday. The woman struck up a friendship after being included on a mass email from a man trying to track down a woman he met the previous night. He met her at a bar, but she only gave him her first name, Nicole, and the wrong number. Side note, take a hint. But Carlos Zetina wasn't deterred and decided to track down his missed connection. On Friday, he wrote an email with the subject line, "Met you last night and you gave me the wrong number," and sent it to every Nicole, Nikki with a Y, Nikki with an I, Nicolette, and even Nick, N-I-K, at the University of Calgary, all 246 of them. The email didn't immediately reconnect Zetina from the original Nicole, but it did connect the rest of the women who bonded over the odd situation and decided to meet up on Friday. When she saw the first email Friday morning, Nicolette Riley chuckled as the night before was Thursday, the party night at the Den on the on-campus bar. And then the responses started coming in from other Nicoles. Quote, "When the email started rolling through, I was just so excited. It instantly made me feel less lonely on campus," said Riley. "And now we're a group. It's great." Zetina said the university's email had a directory, so it only took him a few minutes to copy anyone with Nicole in their name to the message. He said, I didn't want her to think I was a bad guy for not texting her, and she did give me her number. He said,
she gave you the wrong number.
Some Nicoles were students, some alumni, some faculty. An associate dean was even included on the list. Quote, there's a researcher in the group who, she and I have similar research interests, so we're actually going to collaborate. It's just kind of a nice thing to have something unexpected in life happen. It's really nice uniting with some really great, smart, fun, interesting Nicoles. It was a bit of a bold, interesting move, Carlos, but thanks. Here's the message he wrote. Hi, this is a mass email to all Nicoles. If you don't fit the description, then ignore it. And if you are the one and just don't want to talk to me, that's okay as well.
No, it's not, because they already told you they didn't want to talk to you.
If you name your name is Nicole and you're from Holland and you think Nietzsche is depressing, then text me at this number. I'm Carlos, by the way. I'm the guy who took you and your friend home last night. The email was sent to everybody named Nicole. The email's intended target wrote in a post to the group that the powerful network of Nicoles informed her about the situation. The Nicoles have started a Facebook group to keep in touch titled Nicole from Last Night and are talking about having a monthly meetup. Many of them are looking forward to meeting the woman they've taken to calling the real Nicole. The real Nicole said Zetina must have typed her number in wrong.
Right.
I'm not embarrassed. It's just funny how much it got out of hand. She never received the email as she's an exchange student, but heard about it from another Nicole at the school. Thompson said she spoke with the original Nicole and put her in touch with Zetina, who she said described himself as a hopeless romantic. He had a connection with this woman, and I guess she felt it too, so it's kind of a perfect ending. Nicole said she plans on meeting for coffee with Carlos, but just as friends. Mm-hmm. There's also one more Nicole who could possibly join the club. Quote, my ex-girlfriend's name was Nicole, said Zen.
All right, so the lessons from this is that women are awesome, and we should meet people with the same names as us and start Facebook groups, mm-hmm. but that maybe we don't need to have it started by someone who was obviously given the wrong number.
Yeah. It was, yeah, creepy story that actually worked out very cool
because
for the
women
Nicoles.
Are awesome and yeah,
no argument here.
But we could just have groups, we could just start groups. Mm-hmm. They had the directory, mm-hmm. start a Nicole group in your school.
Yeah,
you don't even need to have a creepy email to start it, you could just do it on your own.
I'm starting a man bun group, Buns United.
Nice,
yeah,
I like it.
Don't go to that website,
be you.
Do not go to bunsunited.com. Not appropriate for work.
All right, moving along.
Me, Brad
moving
Pitt,
along.
Tom Cruise from Last Samurai.
So
great hair. Sorry.
It's not that often we have a good Air Canada story. So Air Canada sent a princess to a girl who lost her tooth mid-flight. Yesterday, on board Air Canada flight AC-316 with service from Calgary to Montreal, 6-year-old Eliana lost her tooth. And if that wasn't exciting enough for her, she was greeted by Princess Belle upon landing in Montreal with greetings from the one and only Tooth Fairy. Ellie lost her tooth before takeoff in Calgary, and her dad, Connor Tapp, tweeted about the milestone before takeoff. That's when Air Canada sneakily arranged for the Tooth Fairy's good friend Princess Belle to meet up with her before their connection to Charlottetown. While passengers were deplaning upon arrival, crew asked the Tapp family to go to Gate 51 for a special guest. No one knew who it would be. Even the flight attendant was unaware, so she followed close behind, hoping to catch a glimpse. After a couple minutes, Princess Belle appeared and spent about 20 minutes with Ellie. So this is a very sweet story, but I'm trying to think of how irritated you would be if we landed somewhere. You go, you're shaking your head. Yes. All I can think about, like, it's very sweet. And I am assuming that the only costume they had was a Belle costume, which is why it's Belle, because it's sort of like, what costume do we have that a 6-year-old might like? And they're like, Belle. And we're like, okay, we'll say she's the Tooth Fairy's friend, but I know we have some children who listen to this. So I guess they didn't have the real Tooth Fairy, probably was busy. Mm-hmm. Getting teeth. Mm-hmm. So she sent her good friend Belle. And Scott would be endlessly irritated if you landed somewhere and there was a special guest that took you like an extra 40 minutes to get out of the airport. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine?
Yeah, nope.
I'm going to rage.
I don't care if it's Santa Claus.
What if I find someone with like a man bun and they like meet you and we're Buns United and then you're like so late? Mm. That would be worth it just to see like get a picture of the look on your face.
If they're an emeritus member, if they're like a... you know, legacy member, I could stop the plane for them. But now this leads to actually a question. One of the questions that was asked of us, we try to sometimes do a question of the week from a listener, but this plays into something here. So one of our wonderful show friends and friend of mine, William Murray, asked this question on Instagram and said, if you could pick three things airlines could do immediately to improve customer experiences, what would they be and why? And so this plays off this, though.
It
and
does.
It's part of this is, and we'll get into the nitty-gritty of it in a second, but and thank you for the question, William. And if you ask a question, we'll send you any of our books if we read it on air, or we'll send you a pair of Jackass Whisperer socks. We offered it for William, so he can have that. Let us know. So one thing is finding the stories, finding the experiences, catching the experiences. And so an individual's job is to look for those opportunities, obviously, to make something special, especially for kids. Like, that's a real special part of the demographic, because when you take care of a kid, make something for special for a kid, it's exponential, because then you make their parents even happier, and then the stories, and actually stories spread about kids even better, even more. But it's just a good thing to do. And as an example here, we were flying recently. I took a couple of kids to go visit my brother in Texas, and one of the kids really doesn't want to fly. And the flight attendant noticed that when we were taking off and stuff, and she just started talking to him. She was on the jump seat right across from him. And she's like, "How you doing?" He's like, "I don't like flying." And she's talked to him during the whole takeoff up till we got to cruising altitude. Just had a great conversation with him. She's like, "Don't worry. Actually, the pilot on this plane here is one of our best radar pilot we've got in the whole fleet," and really helped him out to the point, talked to him more. And then we started talking. We actually sent her some of our books because of it, because she's so awesome and because she was such a great, and that changed. And that was Air Canada. And we've ripped on Air Canada very harshly, the number one brand. We've ripped apart in books and on this show.
Definitely.
But that individual then makes the brand for us, right? Brands are made up very simply of experiences and stories throughout the collective group of customers and members of the public. And so that shows that we can change the view of that brand as we go. And why do you not like, let's say, Air Canada or this airline or that? Is because they treat you like crap, because we can't stop things from going wrong. Okay, especially with airlines, there's so many uncontrollable variables. What do you do with it, right? And one of the things, like as we were in line heading to Vegas for a gig last week, the San Francisco flight beside us got delayed 4 hours or something like that, and they announced it, and they said, or it was like it was just under a certain amount of hours, and this person came out and said, "So since it's not a delay of 4 hours, it's only 3.5, we cannot provide you with a food voucher." And the entire gate area just starts booing. Like, it was a chorus of boos. And then she came back on and said, "All right, I wrestled my manager and pinned them into submission. We got you a voucher. And if you're in economy class, it's $10. And if you're in business class, it's $15. And there was roaring cheering going on there, right? So it's, and of course, that was outside of the gate agent's power, really, at that time. And it's made up of these little experiences that go along. And so I want to think is to be catching those experiences, because you can be a flight attendant, especially the gate people, the ticket counter people, and the flight attendant. Now, there's obviously a huge amount of people behind the scenes, but it's those front-facing people, understanding that those people's skill sets are based on empathy and understanding and putting themselves in the customer's shoes. Even saying something like, "You know what? This is terrible. This is so inconvenient. And I apologize, but there's nothing I can do at this point. And we're trying." You know.
Yeah, the empathy is a huge thing. When we flew back from Europe this summer, it was a long flight from Rome. It was like 10 hours or 9 hours or something. The rudest flight attendant I've ever seen in my life. Like, he never smiled. There wasn't enough food. You couldn't order off the menu. And I asked for seconds of a dessert for the kids, because they were like, I almost, honestly, when I went to the washroom, I almost went up to first class and just took snacks out of the basket. That's how hungry the kids were. And he didn't bring anything back. He didn't smile. He didn't do anything. And like, what a smile and like an extra dessert would have done to make those 8 or 9 hours pass more quickly and more comfortably. Mm-hmm. These are on flights that cost what, like 10th? I mean, like an insane amount of money. Yeah. Just simple empathy.
The second thing for me is to stop browbeating people on fees. That's such a big thing. Vegas is going through this right now, too, as a destination, where they're doing resort fees and parking fees now, and they're just adding on these extra charges, so the ticket price or the sticker price is not the same. Like, to change a flight, like, same day, I think it was actually William who actually posted this on Facebook on his own profile, was talking about how he wanted to see if he can catch an earlier flight. He was at the airport early. There's an earlier flight, gets home an hour and a half earlier. They're like, "Yeah, $200. His ticket was $200.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So it's like, and then they have the baggage fees and the fuel surcharges, where that's making them billions of dollars. So I think that, and I assume it's taking away revenue, never will happen, but that's a big thing. And thirdly, when I'm in business class and you hand me nuts, can you warm them? Just make sure they're warm. Because a bowl of nuts is a bowl of nuts, but warm nuts is something that I cherish.
You know who would never bring you a bowl of cold nuts?
Who? Sorry, best segue ever to a live read of a sponsorship. Allison Stratton, everybody.
We just
that's worth the sponsorship right there.
We're celebrating a month back with Emma, and we realized we're a little rusty on working the live reads into the memory.
So. And then you pulled that out of the furnace and dropped that on the show. Sweet mother of cashews. Well done.
Thank you.
Emma, they are the ones who have never sold, give us cold nuts. Why? Because they're unlike other email providers. They put their customers first. Email marketing that works for you. Their award-winning team is always ready to support you in your email marketing strategy, design, list migration, almonds, cashews, peanuts, and more. I applaud you.
Oh, thank you.
My wonderful wife.
And now I have, so this is like a made-up word slash a story. So this is going to take care of our made-up word for this week. I don't know. Do we want to play some music?
Yep.
Made-up word. Don't make any sense. Made-up word. Don't mean no offense. Made-up word. It brings laziness. What is all this craziness? Made-up.
They're made-up. So, okay. So this is from adweek.com. And it says jet lagged. Oh, this is another airline story. Jet lagged, Delta, and Equinox. So the Equinox is like a big gym fitness chain. Have created a recovery workout called, made up word, sweat lag.
Sweat lag.
Anyone want to guess what sweat lag is? I gave a big hint considering it's Delta and Equinox.
Sweat out the jet lag?
Yes, that's what it is.
Yeah. Ding, 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 ding.
So it.
Scott won, Wayne zero.
Despite its vaguely unpleasant sounding name, which is true, I'm glad they got that out in the article. Delta and Equinox collaboration Sweat Lag is actually about keeping you in tip top shape when you travel. Everyone knows jet lag can be an unfortunate side effect of flying. So Delta joined forces with the fitness brand to introduce a jet lag busting workout in time for the busiest travel season of the year. Research suggests that exercise keeps jet lag away on the ground by helping with time change adjustments, speeding up the return to normal circadian. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to pronounce that.
Yeah.
Circadian rhythms. And it says that's according to a statement from agency Wieden and Kennedy New York, which helped produce the campaign. Sweatlag also launched in conjunction with the release of Delta's new Airbus A350 with features designed with jet lag prevention in mind. That's interesting. Wider windows, ambient lighting, and better cabin pressurized to fight jet lag in the air. I don't really get jet lagged.
Hmm. I do.
I don't know if it's just because I don't sleep that much. Mm-hmm. Like in general, like mm-hmm. I probably sleep, what, like 5 hours mm-hmm. a night? So maybe it's just like,
yeah, well, part of jet lag, though, is time zones and then length of time in those time zones, though, too, right? So it's coming back from something as well. I've traveled
quite, yeah. Yeah,
but I know what you mean. I'm not saying you don't travel. It's that it's also not just sleep length, too, but also length of time we stay at places. And, you know, like for me, you know, this past couple of weeks of flying West Coast, East Coast,
but you Central. Do get jet lag. Like, you get jet lag if we go away for the weekend. Like, you adjust really quickly, I think.
Yeah, it's anything that helps it is, but like I just had a gig in Frankfurt, but I stayed on Eastern Standard Time. I stayed on the clock here. So I was up all night in Frankfurt and then slept during the day.
Oh, wait, this is interesting. So it says, so it just launched, it's rolling out in West Hollywood, Westwood, and Marina Del Rey at Equinox. And mm-hmm. it says, anyone ready to get their sweat lag on can sign up online and bring a recent ticket from an airline to one of the locations.
Yeah, and it's just interesting of working out. Like some airports, like Toronto, has a Good Life Fitness inside the airport too. It's staying healthy on the road is a huge part of battling that type of stuff. All right, from Recode, last thing today is about Fortnite. If you have a youngin' at your house, you may be very, very familiar with this game. Fortnite is generating more revenue than any other free game ever. Fortnite Battle Royale has brought in more revenue in a single month than any other game of its kind. The free-to-play game hit a new revenue record of $318 million last May.
Oh, my God.
That put Fortnite well ahead of other breakout games like Pokemon Go and Clash of Clans, and it's all the more spectacular when you realize a multi-platform game launched on consoles just 8 months ago and on iOS 3 months ago. Since then, Fortnite has brought in more than $1.2 billion in revenue, all of which comes from non-essential in-app purchases for clothing and dance moves.
Is any of that our money?
I don't think so, actually.
No, I don't think any of our kids play it.
Well, Owen and Aiden play, but they don't spend money on it.
Oh, good.
Fortnite's free-to-play model has attracted seasoned gamers and newcomers alike, amassing 125 million players in less than a year. The game also has a loyal esports following, which people live-stream their favorite Fortnite players, including celebrities like Drake. Unlike 2016's free-to-play Pokemon Go, whose revenue declined after a blockbuster launch. Fortnite revenue has continued to increase 8 months since the launch. The growth is somewhat slowing. So the interesting thing about Fortnite, I find, and if you looked at numbers, it's incredible.
What is it?
So Fortnite's it's an online multiplayer match. So it's like a kind of not an open world, but it's a match where you're all. It can be up to 100 players, and you're playing. You want to be last person standing, or
is
you can
it
do
fighting?
Yeah, or you can do okay. it in teams. And what happens is you all drop into a map, and then what happens is the map shrinks.
Okay.
So the zone where you've got to be in shrinks and shrinks and shrinks, so it makes all the players come into the same area. So you can't just hide.
Okay.
And last person standing wins the round, and you're the winner of that Fortnite.
Okay.
So that's a big deal to get into first place. And so you can play it with teams, or you can play it individually. And one of the interesting things about Fortnite, other than the fact it's one of those, it's not even a freemium game to me, where freemium means it's free, but if you want to win, you got to pay.
Yeah.
It's just added things on, like things like World of Warcraft and League of Legends, giant games. People have no idea the hundreds of millions of dollars that these companies make on a quarterly basis. The interesting thing about Fortnite is it's not only is it cross-platform, which means you can play it on your phone, on your iPad, on an iPhone, on an Android, cross-platform, but also consoles.
Like Minecraft.
Right. So you can.
Is it Minecraft like that?
Yeah, but the difference here is not only can you play it on PC, Xbox, PlayStation, Switch, iPad, iPhone, Google, you can all play the same game at the same time.
Yeah,
most cross-platform games is PlayStation against PlayStation owners, yeah. Xbox again. It is cross-platform fully.
How did they figure that out?
I don't know, but wow, it must have been a lot of work. But I could see how much it can make. So
yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, that's not an issue.
I just hear about it from a lot of other parents.
It's
like I don't really
huge.
Have.
It has
any...
taken over esports. Obviously, it's been a huge, huge thing, and I just find it fascinating. I find it fascinating, and then you spend the money on it. But if you look at the number of users, that means in a month, it's about $3 a player.
Yeah, so it's not a lot of money. It's just a lot of people.
And they said that on average, 68% of players spend money.
That's cool.
Just for little things. $2 here, $5 here, $2. That
adds up.
That adds up. So it's and see what people, one of the things in business, if you're looking at stuff, and the things of why I like disruption so much and these type of things is saying, just because you don't play it, I want to know the why. Why did Fortnite be the one to explode? There was games, Battlegrounds was before Fortnite. A bunch of games were before Fortnite. So why this one? And then why the longevity? So that's where, so it's like a gamification study. We have one of the books about gamification here. And it's just, so it's not about the game for me. It's not about the game. And I'm a gamer. I love gaming. Right. I just got the new Tomb Raider. I'm dying to rock that game. But that's single player. Right, I bought the game. You paid the money, and that is done. You can buy season pass and purchase, but that's it. There's not an ongoing revenue stream for it. With something like this, I want to know why. Under a layer deeper of why do people start playing? You can look at the peer groups and why other friends play. You want to join. You want to be part of a community. Then why do we stay?
But the platform thing has to be huge.
It's a big part because now, like I said, like so for our kids, like Aiden is a PlayStation guy. Right, Owen's Xbox,
and they can play it together if
right.
they want.
Right, Tessa likes the Switch. Ben and Jacob like their Microsoft Surface.
Yeah,
they could all play it at the same time, and I've never seen that before.
Yeah, that's very cool.
So there's a lot of fascinating stuff. So if you're listening to this and you hate the game because your kids play it and it distracts them, or you don't try it, or you don't game, I encourage you to dig the layer deeper, just to see the why, not the game itself, but why. What's making this happen, and why this multi-billion-dollar game. Is the way it is right now and how it got out there. It's very fascinating.
Cool.
I'm very fascinated. Like anybody cares.
I care.
Okay. I don't know if Wayne does.
I just think all the different models are... I think the different models are really interesting, right?
I do. I think it's...
Because like you talk about your new game, but that's like $80.
Yeah.
But well, you're an adult.
I got the gold version.
Okay, $100. But you're... Mm. But like... Seriously? Are you kidding me?
That was $90.
Oh, God.
And then I got some things.
Why do I ever feel guilty about buying myself anything?
I don't know why.
$90 video games.
I've never made you feel guilty about buying something. But you, let's go buy stuff now.
I have self-imposed guilt. Yeah. But like, then when it's free, see what I don't like is that in the middle, like where something's free and then there's all these extra things.
Right.
Like you said, like a lot of those games were, and I think that's one of the reasons they fade off. I think people get into it because all their friends are playing And then when they realize they're going to have to spend all this money to do it, kids don't generally have tons of money. They might have $5, but in general, and it seems to be a little bit younger. Like it seems like I know a lot, some of the kids in like our younger kids class play, they're like 12, 13. So $5, like within $5, that makes sense for them to spend that money. They're not probably not going to get a $90 game, except maybe at one time a year for a holiday present or a birthday present. So I get why a lot of people go in. And then you add in the fact that it's against across all these platforms. So it really tips over, like if everyone's playing it, because then you get also the kind of outliers, right? Well, if everyone's playing it, then they try it. And if it must be a good game, like, I mean, it must be.
Yeah.
You would think. I mean, it must be fun or they wouldn't play it.
I can't play it.
Did you try?
No, I don't do online well now.
But do you know what I mean? Like it also.
I've watched them play. I love watching them play.
Underlying the whole thing is it must be a good. It must be a good game. And if you can use it across all those platforms too, I assume it's really easy to share like clips of you playing on YouTube and like, because that always brings a lot of kids in too.
Well,
right?
There's a whole industry on Twitch. People just watching them play video games.
Yeah, or like all the Minecraft stuff on. Yeah. Like there's, I mean, tons of that. So
we're in a whole new realm of games.
You can listen to our podcast on a bunch of different platforms.
Yeah, Spotify, iTunes.
I'm on. Like I'm amazing. Today. Yeah. I am like a marketing machine.
Yeah, I am off my game.
So many platforms.
Yeah, together.
iTunes?
Yeah, Spotify.
Amazing.
Stitcher?
Yeah, anywhere really that you listen to your podcast.
Cassette tape?
Well, I don't know if we've made any cassette tapes.
We'll make it happen.
Okay, I'll get working on that.
Sweet. Coming to an 8-track near you on podcast. Get it on Laserdisc. Take the...
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye now.
Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and visit theunpodcast.com. And remember, friends don't let friends use QR codes.